Now the subject this evening is the resurrection of Christ. And I would like to take verse 17 as our text, which says, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." It's a very important subject. We may say it's a key subject for your salvation, the resurrection of Christ. And in this statement that we read from the Apostle Paul, there are really three important subjects brought before our eyes. And these three subjects are the resurrection, of course, then faith, he says, your faith, and then also he is bringing up the subject of sins. He says, your sins. Now, Paul's reasoning is very logic. He is very plain and clear in giving us these three subjects in such a short sentence, which is very useful to think about for us all. Now, first of all, the resurrection. Why is Paul stressing this so much? Well, of course, we have read this is a fact that happened in history. And these people, the disciples, the Romans, and all the religious men at the time witnessed all this. And all human history is really divided in two by this very fact. We have read at the beginning of the chapter from verse 5 to 8 how many witnesses there have been, above 500 brethren at once, and then all other disciples. Some people at the time that Paul was writing this letter, some of these people were already dead, but most of them were still alive. So the resurrection was not a fancy story that they did like to spread around. And Paul is stressing really this very fact. He is saying why there are people among you. Between the Corinthians church, there were people who were trying to dismiss, trying to tell lies and sending disciples away, starting some doubts among them that this story of the resurrection wasn't really true. Then Paul is bringing all these facts again to light and showing that these people were truly foolish. They were going anywhere at all. I'll suggest to some of you who may be even still interested in reading some other facts on the resurrection and some other historical connection with this a writer who is named Frank Morrison. This is a book that I even read many years ago when I was younger in Italy. It was my first English reading probably, and the title of this book was Who Moved the Stone. It was a very interesting book, and I was really taken by this title because it was my first step in the Christian faith, and I was really curious in how to explain better what really happened. And the interesting story of this man is this, that he was not a Christian when he started to make research on the resurrection of Christ, on the life of Christ. This man was professionally a civil judge. So he knew how to go and research and make queries on facts of history. And so that's what he did. He really tried to destroy faith for some other friends and to have more details for him, for himself. But what happened is that while he was searching and trying to destroy the Christian faith, he got convinced himself. He discovered the truth about this fancy story of the resurrection. He became a believer. He became a true Christian himself. And one of the three key important facts about the resurrection that I'll bring it to you this evening are these. Now, if you try to destroy what happened, you are to think really, apart from the account of the Gospels, even other sources that do really explain what happened in the Roman Empire in that time. So, if you want to destroy the resurrection, you may say, someone may say, well, it's not true because, you see, the disciples stole the body. This group of disciples of Jesus, they wanted to build up this resurrection idea. So they stole the body and they went around preaching the resurrection, just like Paul. But you see, if you really look into history and you look at things, how they went, now you are to ask yourself, well, how, for example, Roman soldiers who were there to guard the tomb of Christ, and they were there at peril of their own life, how could they have slept for and led few men like the disciples to take away the body of Christ? They were themselves in fear of being executed. That's most improbable. But more than this, if you think that the disciples had stolen the body to build up this story, well, why then, later on, when persecutions came and disciples were killed and given great persecution, why some of them did not tell the truth? Why this body was not easily taken out and told, well, here it is? Where was the point of all this? So this is very unlikely that this group of disciples stole the body. They didn't really have in mind, nor they could invent the development of Christianity even for today. They were hiding themselves. They were afraid. They were people astonished themselves. How could they have done this? So this doesn't really stand. But secondly, what could have happened as well? Well, some people may say, you see, the Jewish leaders, for example, they were so afraid of what Jesus did preach in his life that they really might have stolen the body of Christ, because they didn't want the disciple to come out with this preaching about the resurrection. So maybe the Pharisees, they took the body. Well, you may say this, but what about history? And what about what really happened? Why, when Peter and the disciples and all others after Pentecost started preaching with power about Christ and his resurrection, why, when at that time hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people truly believed and saw the Spirit of God on the disciples coming down from heaven, they had a huge revival and they believers spread more and more. Why, if the Jewish leader were so jealous, they did not just simply show the body of Christ if they had stolen it? They could at once have been brought the body of Christ and said, look, these disciples are just liars. But they didn't. They couldn't, because the body of Christ was not taken. Well, there is also another possibility that our friend tried to look into, and some other people who are against Christianity may say, well, you see, Jesus of Nazareth didn't really die. All this story of the resurrection, it doesn't stand, because Christ wasn't dead. Of course, he only fainted. He was only a little bit asleep when he was put into that tomb. And maybe with the cool and fresh air of that place, he sort of awakened again. So he wasn't really dead, but he just simply got out, stood up, and went away. Well, this is, again, something foolish that people truly say just to destroy the truth of the resurrection. But do you think really that a man who has been beaten so much and for so long, like Christ had been, do you really think that after all the sufferings on the cross and the death of the cross, even as we are told in the account that the soldiers went there to bring these three men on the cross and make them to be dead, as we read this morning, two of them were still alive and the legs were broken. But when they saw Christ, they pierced his side, and water and blood came out. He was really dead. They even witnessed this. They didn't break his legs. How could you possibly say that this man, Christ, was not dead? It's foolishness. It is. And well, and even if Christ really got out of the tomb himself, just walking, well, he wasn't really only human at the end of the day. The resurrection, my friend, is true. You can dig and dig and try to destroy this truth as much as you like, as many others tried and did, but you will not succeed. It is history. It is the truth of the Word of God. It is what God Himself planned and did for His only begotten Son. There was a French writer who was a real infidel. I think his name was Renan. He wrote the life of Jesus with a very negative and bad attitude to destroy again this account. And when he described the resurrection, of course he didn't write about the resurrection. When he described the crucifixion, he twisted the truth of the Word of God and wrote there, the word in French is fini, which means finished. Meaning he wanted to say and to tell the whole world that that's the end of the story. And even the publishers who printed that booklet wanted to make this even stronger and painted a picture at the end of the book with the scene of Christ on the cross, with a very dark sky, with black birds flying around on top of Christ, with the person of Christ with a very downcast look, pale face, the most ugly picture that you may imagine in your mind. That's what they tried to do. That's what he did write. And many, many people in this world wish that that is true. but they can't. They may write what they want, but the reality of fact is altogether different. How sad for those who try to picture the life of Christ as ending there on the cross. How dreadful will be when they truly will discover that this very Jesus will come again in glory from the clouds of heaven. The Puritan Thomas Watson once wrote a very clever phrase that I liked. He said about the Christian who has the hope of the resurrection, he wrote these words: "We are more sure to arise out of our graves than we are to be out of our beds." And that's really true, friends. The truth of the resurrection is not to be taken lightly. And you are better to think seriously about it. This is my plea tonight for you all, my friend. Have you checked the reality of this fact? Do you take seriously what it means? And if, of course, that is true, what are the consequences? Christ raised from the dead. It is too important, it is too vital for you not to think about it. It must have an effect in your own life. There is life after death. And this is a great proof. The biggest problem that men have ever to be faced is there solved by Christ. There is life after death. He did come out of the grave. And even for those of us who believed and who has come to the Lord's table this morning, is this maybe a subject we too often do neglect? When was the last time you spoke about Christ risen from the dead to one of your friends? How often do we speak about it? That's really too sad. We are to meditate on it. We are to think as a real, great fact. Christ risen from the dead. Look at Paul and see how with great enthusiasm he was writing about it here. Now then, he is truly saying in this verse, Christ is raised. The resurrection is true. Because if that was not the case, he then addresses believers like you and me and says, well, if that's not true, even your faith is vain, is no use. Why are you here in church? Why do you read your Bible? The resurrection is true. And Paul is telling this to the believers in Corinth also because, as I mentioned before, there were many people who were trying to destroy this very idea. There was a Greek philosophy which really taught that yes, there was life after death. There was maybe the soul that could be living after death, but really bodies were not resurrected. They were believing in matter as bad and spirit as good. So there might have been life with your soul afterward. But this whole idea of the resurrection of bodies, it was to them nonsense. So Paul is challenging these believers in speaking about their faith. And he says specifically this regarding two points. Regarding, first of all, the fact that Christ had risen from the dead, but also that believers will be risen from the dead. The first preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2 is making this very point. Peter said this to the crowd that was witnessing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. This was said to hundreds of people there. But also, Paul is writing in this very chapter, if to believers, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, there is life after death for you, Christian, as well. There is a resurrection for your bodies, Christians. This is the truth. You can't hope and live for Christ in this life only. It is for afterwards as well. That's where faith comes to place. That's where you and I need to believe this. The disciples taught this truth that Christ raised from the dead, and this was the evidence that his sacrifice was accepted by God. That Christ raised from the dead for our justification. That rising again from the dead was the hope of believers in this life, but also the assurance of the resurrection for their bodies in the life to come. In other words, there is eternal life for you who believe, dear friend. That's why Paul says so plainly, look, if Christ is not raised, then even what you believe is vain. It's no use at all. The resurrection has a very practical effect. Now, what is the third subject that Paul brings into light? It is the subject of sins. Christ is raised. Your faith, of course, to put this verse into the positive, your faith is not vain, is worth. And then your sins are forgiven. Well, we may ask, what is this connection that he makes between resurrection and sin? Nobody likes to speak about sins anymore. And when we try to use this word with our friends at work or in school, I'm sure the first reaction is a big eyebrow raised, and everybody doesn't really like to hear this. But remember what the Word of God says. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Now that's the question. That's why death is in this world. That's why your body is decaying. That's why you're getting older. And when you are young and a teenager, you look forward to grow up. Yes, but when you are grown up, you do see your body getting older, and you realize that's something you can't rewind. You can't go back. It's not in your power. The reason for this, the Bible says, it is because there is sin. Sin brought death into this world. All men in this world experienced this. Except Elijah, who was taken away. And when you hear and listen to this world's voice, when you read the newspapers, when you watch TV, all you get is the opposite message. Everyone is looking after their effort to become younger, to slow the aging process. And think of fitness, of fashion, of cosmetics, and all that you can add. Everything in the commercial speaks about eternal beauty. It is as if nobody realizes that you can't really do much about it. You are going to die. It is reality. And the reason is that sin is in this world. But the first Adam brought sin into this world and death with it. But the second Adam, which is Christ, brought life and eternal life. And if Christ has risen, sins are forgiven. Listen to the Apostle Paul again, writing to the Romans. In chapter 8, he will say this: if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. This is the hope of the Christian. If you believe in Christ's work for you, this is what He's promised: to quicken your mortal bodies and to raise you up as He had been raised up. And this is not only for life ahead, it is for this real life here. Not only the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin has been overcome, and you are granted to live a life with Christ here on earth. That's why Paul is careful not to separate ever the cross with the resurrection. Because there we learn this morning, there Christ paid for your sins. He offered up Himself. But with the resurrection, the power of sin and death has been overcome. Let us notice, lastly, something else that Paul says in this phrase, because he has been challenging everyone regarding the truth of the resurrection. He has been declaring that your faith is worth living and believing in Christ because He raised from the dead. And he is speaking about sins. But notice this little word. He says, your sins. Now that is most important as well. Because sin is not to be thought as something general only. It isn't. Sin is something which is affecting you, your life, personally. It is your sins. If you are a believer, if you have come to the Lord's table this morning, if you profess faith and believe in Christ's work, your sins are forgiven. We are not told they will be forgiven, but they are forgiven. But if you have not trusted Christ, if you have not been enabled to speak about your sins, if you do not see that you have sinned, what is the resurrection worth? What is this use for you? It is a fact in history, and that's only there. It doesn't affect your life. You do not trust Him and Christ for His work. It is something far away from your life. And that is, my friend, very dangerous. That is, my friend, what you are going to face if you don't see that your life is full of iniquities, of transgressions, of sins before God. And Christ died to pay for your sins if you believe in Him. This is why He came on earth. This is why He took on Himself human nature. He didn't sin Himself. He lived a perfect, pure life, obeying God from beginning to the end, perfectly, just as you cannot and you will ever be able to do. And that's why He is offering to you His work tonight. He is saying, what do you really believe? How is the resurrection affecting you? Is my work of any importance to you? Do you see and realize, as Paul says, that your sins are there? Are your sins still there in your life? Or has Christ risen for them? That's my question. And that's what I pray in God's grace that you may come to understand. That your sins are imputed to you until you believe in Christ. And He has raised from the dead to clear them.